And people fall away on something like this, same reason they do other things. What do you think is the main reason a lot of people give up on an idea that is truly inspired and will happen, is in harmony with the mind of God, but they just give up? Why do they give up?
Time. It didn't happen fast enough.
Yeah, that's one of the big things.
Ego.
Just doesn't happen fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see things happen right away.
People's minds today are too scattered on things of the horizontal focus and life. You know, there's so many attractions in the world of Maya.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. We have a lot of distractions, too. You know, like maybe somebody sees a vision, but they fall in love with a real worldly person, and that they want to please them more than follow something that may or may not happen, so to speak. And that's or maybe money or something like this. But we have all kinds of distractions in life, and these distractions can take us away. Or maybe they get enamored with another teacher. When in the group that Artie was in, well, we were going along pretty good. Everything was progressing quite nicely. And then this gal joined that created problems for us. She come across this teacher. His name was Tony, and he taught meditation. And she tried to get the group to go to his meditation classes. And I thought, well, let's check this guy out. So the whole group went to his meditation class. And it was just kind of, all he did was play music, and you listen to music and you meditate. And I couldn't understand why she was so enamored with this guy. But anyway, she kind of fractured the group. Somewhat. She kept telling everybody that I had no heart energies. This Tony was into love and heart and things like that, and I was more into mind. And so she didn't do the group any good, did she, Artie?
No, and I think the real reason she left him is because she had the hots for him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is she the gal like Wayne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She got around.
Well, when she first joined the group, she came to my wife, which wasn't Artie at that time, and she says, I'm going after your husband. And my wife at that time was not very possessive or jealous at all, but that pushed a button in her.
That was the second wife.
Yeah, my second wife. Now, Artie, she doesn't put up with anything, but my second wife was very easygoing. I could flirt with other women and everything. But that really affected her. And also, she had a powerful effect on the group as a whole. But anyway, you have all these distractions, and she created quite a few distractions. And
that would be a distraction in itself.
Yeah. And I had a number of people condemn me. One guy attended our group for a while, and there I was teaching just like I am now. And all of a sudden, the guy blurts out, I am God, and you are screwing up. You have been given one last time, and you're blowing it, so to speak. I mean, he spoke in a really loud voice, channeling God himself, supposedly, and condemning me to hell.
Oh, my gosh.
And right in the middle of a class, you can imagine, it was a class like this, a little bigger, and all of a sudden the guy stands up and says stuff like that.
How did you
deal with that? I don't know. I just let him talk and said, okay, well, point noted.
Thanks. Point noted. Thanks. Point noted.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, my God.
solidified me, and that was getting a witness. If you don't have a spiritual witness or connection where your soul is touched, and you know that you're on the right track, whether it's reincarnation or the molecular construct or whatever your direction in life, what role you want to play, if you don't have some kind of a spiritual witness or a fire that you can rely back on, you can go back in time and think, you know, I remember I got that witness, so I remember what that felt like. You know, so that will keep you grounded and on track. If people who don't get that, you know, it seems like they just don't quite have that internal momentum.
And some people that get a witness get spiritual amnesia. So you made a good point that you reflect on it, and that's what you have to do. If you don't reflect on a spiritual witness or encounter or something that you had, you get amnesia about it, especially if you get wrapped up in the concerns of the world and everyday living, and your attention is on just making money or whatever, then pretty soon that spiritual event that was in your life that convinced you at the time of a path to take, all of a sudden that begins to fade. And I've seen this happen time and time again in people that have got a spiritual witness that it just fades, and pretty soon they don't. I think a lot of them don't even remember at all that they had any spiritual witness of any kind. So you, and this is what I remind myself of, and I need to do it probably more. But I remind myself of it regularly, of different things in my life where I had a surety of a witness, and you go back to those times and relive them and say, this may not be happening this way now, but it happened then and it will happen again. Because everything goes in cycles. I think what happens with cycles is that there's cycles of opportunity, and in not only in your life but with groups and nations, there's cycles that happen, and there's cycles that happen in your life where you will have an opportunity to get very close to the Spirit, and then when that cycle ends, you go back to normal living and all kinds of material pulls happen in your life. Very strong emotions maybe materialize, and you go through a cycle where you have to remind yourself of that spiritual event, because it can then seem far away when you're a distance away from it. But so you have to reflect on those times. Like Curtis needs to reflect on that time he got a witness on reincarnation. That was an important event in his life. And Artie and I need to reflect on that Thursday where we fell in love at that particular meeting that we had.
Jason, do you remember the year that you first wrote the molecular relationship to the group? Do you remember the year you first told us about that?
First told you about it?
The molecular relationship. Do you remember what year it was?
It wasn't, well, probably 1999 or so, I imagine.
Because the very first gathering, we all had this feeling of wanting to be connected. We were talking about moving everybody to Idaho so we could make a commune or a kibbutz.
Had I taught it at the first gathering?
I don't think you had.
Oh, I might not have.
I don't think, but the feeling was there. So we, even though we didn't have a name for it, we didn't know it was called a molecular relationship, we knew we wanted to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. The first teachings of the group was about introducing the Immortal series, and then I taught a lot about the Beast.
Yeah.
And misused authority and different things. I can't remember how far along it was before I introduced the molecule. I could look that up, though. Okay.
We had the concept in the 80s, so, you know, it was a perpetual thing.
Yeah, I wrote the first draft in 1979, I think.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago.